morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you watching this at home as well. Today is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, but it also is another special day on the church calendar. So last week we celebrated St. Titus Day. Today, February 2nd, is the day of the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord. Basically, today we are remembering what happened when Jesus, as an infant, 40-day-old infant, was presented before our Heavenly Father in the temple. And we get to hear from Simeon and Anna, who are also there that day. And it's a reminder that our Lord presents us before His Father. And so we can look at it that way, that we, in holy baptism, are presented before our Father, and He takes care of us. And so we're going to talk about that throughout the service today and in the sermon. And also today we have the incoming officers and board members who are going to be serving in ministry positions here at Trinity for the next year, some of us 3 years. We're so excited to have all of you here and that you've been elected and that you are willing to serve. And so we pray for God's blessings upon you. And we're going to have that installation after the sermon, And we also will recognize those who have completed their service today and give thanks to God for that. And so, at this time, you can stand and we turn to Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now turn to the inside cover of our bulletin, and there we will have the intro. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God.
In the midst of your temple.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
In the city of our God.
His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Within her citadels,
God has made himself known as a fortress.
As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God.
Which God will establish forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God. Glory be to God on high.
Lord, have we cast
The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty and ever-living God, as your only begotten Son was this day presented in the temple in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the Feast of the Purification of Mary and the Presentation of our Lord comes to us from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
Just a quick note about that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus is going to be our hymn of the month for the entire month of February. So you can read about that hymn in today's bulletin. Our epistle reading today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. This is the gospel of the Lord. And now that we have heard God's word, we join together in speaking the words of our faith, and this morning we do so using the Nicene Creed. It's printed for you on page 191. We confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 855, For All the Faithful Women. And I need to make a slight correction here. I put down the wrong number of the verse that we want to sing today. So we're going to sing verse 1, and then rather than going to verse 8, we need to go to verse 6. And that's the one about Hannah, who is the subject of our Old Testament reading today. So verse 1, then verse 6, and back to verses 3 and 4. We sing together now. Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our sermon today comes from the Old Testament reading from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, which tells us all about a woman named Hannah who travels to a place called Shiloh, which sounds like it's a story about Miss Zernike going shopping at Target, but that's not what this is about. The biblical Hannah was someone who presented her son Samuel to the Lord at the temple, and she did so without any reservation whatsoever, knowing that the Lord would care for him. And so in a similar way, this reminds us that we are all presented before the Lord. In fact, it's Jesus himself who presents us before his Father. And we know that the Lord will always care for us. In fact, that's why he sent us his son Jesus, to be our Savior. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, according to the Emily Post Institute, if you must borrow something from a friend or from a neighbor, it is considered good etiquette to return that item, whatever it happens to be, in a timely manner, or also in the same, if not better, condition than it was in when you first borrowed it. That just sounds like common sense, doesn't it? It sounds like the way that most of us were raised. And when it comes down to it, that is the right thing to do. If you borrow a tool, you bring it back clean and oiled. If you borrow a car, you bring it back with a full tank of gas. This is not news to us. We understand this. On the flip side, Emily Post Etiquette also says that if you are the one that is lending something to someone else, that you should always do so recognizing that there is an inherent risk that you may not receive that item back, or you may receive it in much worse condition than you lent it. And so if you are going to do this, the recommendation is that you never lend something that you are not willing to lose, and that you would always lend to people who you are in a close relationship with. Again, it sounds like more common sense, but we have seen in our lives how often that can go awry when someone does not listen to that advice on either end of it, as the borrower or as the lender, how that can really put strain on relationships between people. Now, that being said, this is admittedly going to sound a little bit funny, a little bit silly, but just kind of bear with me here. I'm going to just complain for a moment about something that has been borrowed from all of us. And by all of us, I mean us as American Christians. Something that was borrowed from us about 140 years ago, and I think it needs to be returned in better condition. Now, this thing that was borrowed is not really a thing, but it's actually a day. It's today, in fact. It is the date, February 2nd. I want February 2nd back. And let me explain what I mean by that. So I mentioned earlier, this, of course, February 2nd is considered to be the day when we talk about the presentation of our Lord Jesus in the temple. We heard about that in our gospel reading today in Luke chapter 2. And we know that that event took place in the infant baby Jesus' life when he was 40 days old. So you look at that in terms of the church calendar, and you say, well, if Christmas Day is December 25th, and you count 40 days later, you get today, right? So this is 40 days after Christmas. The 40th day of Christmas, you could say it that way. And February 2nd always falls during the Epiphany season. We never have Ash Wednesday fall this early. So it's always Epiphany. We're always thinking about the light of Christ shining into the darkness of this world. But February 2nd also fits pretty much perfectly. I mean, it's not always exact, but pretty much right in between the beginning of winter and the beginning of spring. It's that halfway point in between the two seasons. And so the church in Christian tradition historically has focused on that kind of change, light coming from darkness, spring coming from winter, the light of Christ shining into this world. That's why in the gospel reading today, we highlight the fact that Simeon, as he's holding baby Jesus, he calls him a light for revelation to the Gentiles in what we now today sing as the Nunc Dimittis. It's also been tradition throughout the church's history to light lots and lots of candles on this day. So lighting candles in churches, lighting candles in homes, to the point where so many candles have been lit on this day that February 2nd is sometimes given a nickname of Candlemas, like Christmas, but it's Candlemas. I actually learned this morning about a Candlemas tradition in Luxembourg, of all places, where children take candles door-to-door to their neighbors, almost like you're going trick-or-treating, and they're holding these candles, and they sing songs, and they are rewarded with biscuits and bacon. It's like the best holiday ever, right? But 138 years ago, February 2nd was borrowed from the Christian church by Germans who settled in western Pennsylvania, who decided that they also wanted a day to celebrate the change from winter into spring. But they wanted to do that without all the churchy parts of it. So they removed Jesus, and they replaced him with a rodent named Punxsutawney Phil. They replaced the gospel with a legend about a groundhog who, whether he sees his shadow or not, apparently can predict what the weather is going to be like for the rest of the season. And so these people gather around with their fancy coats and top hats, and they eagerly await what is the groundhog going to say, which apparently this morning, if you hadn't already heard, he did see his shadow and he did predict that there would be 6 more weeks of winter. And so the crowd cheers when the groundhog makes his prognostication. And it's all just kind of silly. I understand it's all for fun, and I'm not against having fun. I know that nobody really pays that close attention to what a groundhog thinks about the weather, maybe unless you actually live in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. But you know, as well as I do, that if you were to talk to the average Christian and talk about what is the significance of February 2nd, that most of us would end up saying something about a groundhog. And hardly any of us would remember that this is the 40th day after Christmas, or what happened in the life of our Lord Jesus on that day. So I don't care what the Emily Post Institute says, I think it's time for us to take this day back. Bring back the biscuits, bring back the bacon. I don't care so much about Punxsutawney Phil. Borrowing and lending is also a major theme of our Old Testament reading today. And the Old Testament reading involves this different child, the child Samuel, who was to be presented before the Lord, and this, of course, was a foreshadowing of what would take place many years later with baby Jesus. That's what makes it appropriate for us to think about the presentation of Samuel before the tabernacle today. Samuel was brought there by his mother Hannah. Like I said, it was located in a place called Shiloh in those days. Let me set the scene for you a little bit. Hannah's story is really interesting. It's really captivating. If you aren't familiar with it, I encourage you to go and read the first few chapters of 1 Samuel. Maybe one of these days over the next 6 weeks when, you know, it's cold and the winter is making you feel like you need something to do. Read 1 Samuel. Read about Hannah. Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah. We met him in our reading today. Elkanah happened to have 2 wives. And so that is a difficult situation in and of itself. But as if that weren't difficult enough, the other wife had been able to bear lots of children. Meanwhile, Hannah was childless. And apparently what we learn from Scripture is that this other woman took every opportunity she had to rub that in Hannah's face. In fact, verse 6 earlier in this chapter says, her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So, not great, right? Not what you want. All of this, for good reason, caused Hannah distress. But the whole family together would go up to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, once every year to bring sacrifices to the Lord. And there was one year where Hannah was so upset about her situation that she was found standing outside the tabernacle weeping and praying. And part of her prayer was that if the Lord would grant to her a son, that she would give that son right back to him. And that son was Samuel. So that's what we stumble upon here now in the middle of chapter 1 as we come into our text for the day. God listened to Hannah's prayer. He gave her that son. And when that boy was really little, like our text tells us, it was immediately after she was done nursing him, she brought him up to the tabernacle to essentially let God borrow him. That's the language that is used here. In verse 28, she says, therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. Now, that's a really interesting concept, if you think about it. She prayed for this child. She longed for this child. And finally, once he was here, she's just willing to lend him to someone else. It kind of reminds you of Abraham, doesn't it? Abraham had waited and waited and waited for the Lord to fulfill his promises to him. And then all of a sudden, here's Isaac. And then the Lord is calling for him to sacrifice that son, to give him up in that way. At least in Hannah's situation, she knew that Samuel would be well taken care of, that he would be in good hands. She would allow him to be raised in the tabernacle, and he would learn every single day what it really meant to serve the Lord. And she also knew that she would get to see him, because as the family would go up to the tabernacle to make their sacrifices, she would see her son Samuel there every single time the family went. But I would suggest to you that the main reason why Hannah was so willing to lend her son to the Lord is because the Lord is the only borrower in all of human history where the Emily Post Institute's etiquette rules don't actually apply. Because there is no risk whatsoever in lending anyone or anything to the Lord. In fact, if you think about it this way, Samuel already belonged to the Lord. The Lord is Samuel's creator and provider. And God already had an amazing plan for Samuel's life even before he was born. So there was no scenario in Hannah's mind where she thought that her son would not be taken care of. She lent him to the Lord without reservation. And the results speak for themselves. Samuel grew up to be a prophet of the Lord. He was the last judge who was given authority over the land of Israel. He was the one who God used to usher in the actual kingdom of Israel, establishing that kingdom. Samuel was the one who anointed Saul to be the first king. And then when that didn't work out so well, Samuel was also the one who anointed the boy David to be a much better king than Saul was. The point that I'm getting at is that when any person, individual, is presented before the Lord, whether we're talking about Hannah or Mary and Joseph who were dedicating Jesus at the temple in their day, the Lord has promised, the Lord has shown that he will bless us, that he will take care of us, that we will end up in better condition when the Lord is done with us than we were when we were first presented to him. That's what we have seen over and over and over again. And so you and I have also been presented to the Lord. We are presented before the Lord whenever we come here to church together, but we were first presented to the Lord when we came to the baptismal font. And for many of us, not all of us, but for many of us, that happened when we were really, really little too. Maybe for some of us, within that 40-day window. And we don't typically use that language when we talk about our baptismal life. We don't often talk about how we have been lent to the Lord or that the Lord is borrowing us or anything like that. But the reality is that in that moment when we were first presented to God, our condition improved dramatically. Our sinful condition was washed away. And every time we have been presented to the Lord since that day, we have been reminded of that life-changing moment, because when we gather in worship, we gather in the name that was placed upon us when we were baptized. We worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In just a moment, we have some individuals up here in the first two pews that are going to present themselves before the Lord. And we give thanks that you are willing to serve him in this ministry, in the different capacities that you've been elected to. And after they're done doing that, The rest of us get to come up here and present ourselves before the Lord at his altar once again to receive the Lord's Supper. And as we go back out to our pews, and then later on as we go out into the world, we rejoice that we are in so much better condition spiritually than we were when we first entered into this building even today. And that has been the experience of God's people for generation upon generation. So, like Hannah and like Mary and Joseph, we can, without reservation, lend everything that we have to the Lord, and not just our children, if we have any, but our whole lives and everything that we are. We give it all to the Lord, knowing that he won't break us, he won't lose us, he won't turn us into something meaningless and silly like Groundhog Day. He will care for us as he always has. And he will treat us not like a careless borrower, but he'll treat us as his own. Because thanks be to God, that's exactly what we are. In his most holy and precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And at this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. It is now time to install our new officers and board members, and so I'd like to invite you to come and join me up here in the front. All right, we all fit. That's good. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in good order. To that end, the constitution of this congregation establishes various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, there is a full list in the bulletin of all of the new incoming officers and board members. I'm going to do my best to go down the line and remember what everybody's doing. So Janice Bourgeois was reelected to serve as now a co-financial secretary, and Larry Underfurt is now going to be serving as the chairman. Hank Reeder is also going to be serving along with Janice as a co-financial secretary. Lou Ann Grody and Carol Weiss have both been elected to the board of stewardship. Susie Robbins has been reelected as a co-treasurer. Kurt Grody and Bill Hafford have been elected to the Board of Elders. Patty Baker is going to be serving on the Christ Our Rock High School Board. Steve Eichmeyer is now going to be the vice chairman of the congregation. And Ben Grody and Angie Frazier are going to be serving on the Board of Education. And so, you have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Hoyleton, Illinois. And you are to work with myself, the pastor, that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. And now I will address the congregation. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers and board members here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers and board members of Trinity Lutheran Church and School in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and for the good of his people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation, strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we with all your faithful people may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Thank you very much, and you may now return to your seats. Now, I don't see anybody sitting in the two pews that we reserved for this purpose, but are there any outgoing officers and board members here? If so, would you please stand where you are so that we can recognize you? So we've got a couple up there in the balcony and some down here. Let us give thanks to God for their service. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I do have a couple updates for our prayer list today. First, printed in our ongoing health list, you will see the name Eulene Koenig. That is the aunt of Charlene Bachman. And Eulene was just recently placed in hospice care. Not printed in your bulletin, we will be lifting in prayer today Lester Campbell. That is the father of Pam Newhouse, who recently suffered a fall. He has a few fractured ribs and a collapsed lung, and he's looking at possibly going into a rehab facility in the future. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Everlasting God, we remember how Simeon faithfully trusted your promise that he would not die until he had seen the Savior. Grant us the same trust in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, that having received his body and blood and beholding him by faith, we would be prepared for the day we meet him face to face. Abide with those placed in the office of the Holy Ministry, that their hands would be ever ready to deliver your gifts to your people and their lips bold to speak your gospel. Be with all of our mission partners, especially our sister congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran in Farron, and their pastor, Jonathan Jennings. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, you placed your Son into the home of Mary and Joseph. Bless our homes that they would be places where truth is taught and confessed. We rejoice today along with all those who are celebrating birthdays, including Georgia, Deb, Josephine, Dade, Ronnie, Margaret, and Randy. We also ask you to bless all Christian marriages, especially those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Danny and Tammy Schnicker and Art and Doris Meyer. Bless them as their lives reflect the love you have for all creation. Lord, in your mercy. Ruler of the nations, bless those placed in authority over us. Grant that they would serve with integrity and honor, having the welfare of all in mind. Look favorably on our country, that division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Watch over all who serve in the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as your Son has become our faithful high priest, making propitiation for the sins of all people, hear his intercession for his bride, the church. Grant that the suffering, sick, and sorrowful would be blessed by your loving visitation, and be especially with all those who are on our prayer list this day, including all who are in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We lift Lester before your throne as he has dealt with this fall. We pray that you would heal him if it be your will. We also ask you to be with those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Richard, Don, Bob, Jim, Marvin, Amy, Ronnie, Francie, Greg, Eulene, Gina, Christy, Brent, Jeff, Nancy, Virgil, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Lord, in your mercy, Father of lasting peace, show mercy to those who receive the Lord's Supper this day, that they would behold their salvation in the very body and blood of Christ given for them, and like Simeon, be well prepared to depart in peace according to your word. Lord, in your mercy, join these, our prayers and praises, with those of your faithful people of all times and places, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, until he comes again in glory as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. We now continue with the service of the sacrament, which begins on page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, sharing your eternal splendor, was presented on this day in your temple in the substance of our human flesh, and revealed by the Spirit as the glory of Israel and the light of all peoples. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Have mercy.
Please stand. We now sing together the Song of Simeon, the Nuncdimittis, on page 199. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. We will not have a closing hymn today, but I will invite the acolytes to extinguish the candles as we have a silent prayer. Good morning. This is something I'm going to try to do, especially on a day where we have a lot of extra things going on, communion service plus the installation of our officers and board members. So, trying to respond to some of the feedback that we received from our worship surveys and trying to find ways to make our liturgy a little bit less lengthy on a day where we have a lot of extra things happening. So, occasionally we may omit a hymn like we just did. Can we give thanks to God one more time for those who are willing to serve us? Thank you so much. All right, the top three for this week. Number one, tonight we are going to have a special event for our youth ministry. Both Club 58 and YPS are invited to join us for bowling. So 4 o'clock, we're going to gather, we're going to head over to Mount Vernon to the New Bowl bowling lanes, and after that, our plan is to eat at Culver's, and the flavor of the day is Georgia Peach, so excited about that. So we hope our youth group can join us later today. Number two, it is the first Tuesday of the month coming, just a couple days from now, and so that is Ladies' Night here at Trinity Hoyleton. Ladies' Aid will be meeting at 7 o'clock over in the school basement. And finally, number three, so some of you have probably already read the bulletin blurb, the letter that was written by Ms. Cernicke, or maybe you heard about the news last week at the annual meeting, but Ms. Cernicke has informed us that she will not be returning for next school year, and she'll be heading back up to Wisconsin. And so, there is a note in your bulletin today. We are in need of teachers for next school year. We need a third and fourth grade teacher, and we need a fifth and sixth grade teacher. The school board has already been looking at candidates and possibilities for that position, those positions, but we are now wanting some help from the rest of the congregation. If you happen to know somebody who may be interested in teaching at Trinity Lutheran School here in Hoyleton, please let us know about that. We would love to be able to start working on filling those positions for our next school year. Those are my top three for this week. Are there any other announcements that need to be made today? All right, seeing none, we will see you next week, but go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.